Audio Kitchen.
You won't believe the static.
The Audio Kitchen. The Audio Kitchen.
Yes, it's running. You can't hear it. You can't hear it go round when you're recording. But when you're rewinding or something, you can.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, now we shut the door.
Tell it like it is, Professor.
That wasn't a loop. That's how it was found. You are tuned in to the Audio Kitchen on WFMU. and I am the professor, your host and curator, until 8. Amateur audio, that's what you hear in this slot. At this time, the tape there with Bobby, excuse me, I don't think that was Bobby at all, but somebody who had an affection for Bobby, found in Youngstown, Ohio. As I said last week, I had left town for a smattering of days and went to Michigan. That's what you're hearing in the background, actually, is the sound of Lake Superior. And on the way back, we made a stop, an overnight stop in Youngstown, Ohio, and raided the local thrift stores. Not a lot of fascinating audio to be found there, but that particular piece. I was in the thrift store. I think it was Thrifty Rick's in Youngstown, Ohio. And I'm listening to that tape. And if you know who that singer is, please let me know at theprof@wfmu.org. But I'm listening and I'm hearing, you know, Bobby. And I waited for something else to happen, but nothing ever did. An interesting artifact, nonetheless. An artifact of love. Here's another souvenir from the trip here. This was found in far northern Michigan. And this answering machine seemed to belong to a truck dealer patriarch kind of guy. A purveyor of GMC vehicles. And most of this call is taken up by a conversation between the old car dealer fellow and his son. The dealer, the owner man, Joe, I think his name is, a gruff kind of guy. A get things done kind of fellow. And his son is more of a low-key kind of a mumble mouth guy. And so during this extended conversation, Dad is attempting to convert his son into a tough guy. The conversation all really revolves around some seat covers and turning a vehicle into four-way drive, which is sort of beside the point. But you can imagine how it would be. Maybe you know, working for your father. And he's always your dad, really, when he's your boss. It might not be the best situation.
Dad, and we miss you. Bye. Hi, Dad. It's Jade again. Still trying to reach you. If you get this message tonight, give me a call. It's about 7:30 on Thursday night. Thanks, Dad. Bye.
Joe?
Hello?
Amber?
Yeah?
Tell Grandpa we're ready.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
This is Harry Bruder. My number is 627-2...
I'll try in a couple minutes again. The answering machine is answering right away. I'll call you back here in a couple seconds.
Goddamn thing. I'm going to shut that thing off.
Anyway, you called?
Yeah. Eric there wants to know what they charge for converting a conventional over to four-wheel drive.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to find out from one of the guys at Monroe.
At the same time, is the meetings all over with?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Anyway, Did you ask them about seat covers?
No, there wasn't really anybody to ask. You know what I'm saying? It's all sales guys mostly. The service guy isn't even here.
Hmm. Well, anyway, you know the seat covers, you know the frame that they charged X number of dollars to straighten it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like in the morning, can you call those characters? When are you leaving?
Well, cats have to leave about 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. 6 or 7.
Nobody at that office, eh?
Huh?
Nobody at that office you could try to call tonight?
I'll ask Q. He's here and see what he says.
Okay, well, anyway, he wants to convert a conventional over to a four-wheel drive, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, see what you can do.
Okay.
They wouldn't give you a truck to drive back?
No. I'm going to ask them again tonight, but...
Where are they at?
Well, they're down, you know, they're going to have you at the dinner.
Well, ask them if they want me to call them.
Won't do any good.
I know I won't, but give them a little scare in the ass.
Yeah.
Tell them we're the oldest goddamn GMC dealer in the state of Michigan. Don't be afraid to push it.
Yeah, well, but like he was saying there, you know, last night, he said, well, hey, he said, you know.
The goddamn strike's over.
The guy that's in charge of it, he supposedly isn't there, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, find out what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Make some... In other words, push your goddamn weight around.
Yeah. 4x4 seats, and what else did you say? Oh, the frame.
The frame, and every goddamn truck he's got, the seats wore out.
On the left side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Chew ass.
Huh?
Chew ass.
Try.
Well, don't try. Do it.
Yeah, I will.
And tell them you want a goddamn truck to drive away.
The problem is they don't have a dealer plate.
Well, put on a dealer plate. Tell them to find you one or give you a sticker.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try.
Well, goddamn it. I expect the yes answer.
Yeah. If I can get one, I will.
Oh, goddamn it. There's somebody there. You had everything set up there. They're going to pay your wife's fare?
Huh?
They're not going to pay your wife's fare back home.
Yeah?
Well, can't holler too much about that.
No, that's what I say then. But, hey, all we can do is try.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye.
See you tomorrow. Yeah, Jerry called Dad and he said he wasn't coming. He'd see you Monday night. He's coming up Monday night to go up across or something. Okay. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm looking for a gift for my wife. Oh,
you're just so considerate.
Chew ass. Give him a scare in the ass. Old Dad.
Those Michigan folks, they're tough ones. You catch the accent there too. It's kind of a flat A. Like when the one boy is saying Amber, it comes out like Amer. And a little bit of the Canadian sounding ooh to boot. A little of that in there too. Well, answering machine tapes come in all flavors. And here's something quite a bit different than anything I've ever really heard before. This is a microcassette found by Brian Ballot in Florida not too long ago. And it documents a friendship, really, between two elderly women. And you know how they say when you get old that you get
to be more like a little kid or a baby, kind of dependent and all that. Well, this really kind of shows you how that can happen. These two ladies, I mean, it's nice that they're friends and they call up and check up on each other. But there's something a little frightening about adults, at least to me personally. Adults speaking in baby talk to each other. Maybe that's okay. Something about it just kind of gives me the willies. But that happens here. And the way they really live their lives is they go off and meet in TV land. By that I mean they watch shows in their separate homes and then they get on the phone to compare notes. That happens all through this. In fact, this is an answering machine tape, but it's really just all conversations between these two women. Like the one lady who owns this machine, who has a little pet named Baby. I assume it's a little dog. And at one point, she says, "Hold on while I take a pill." And then you hear the whole pill-taking ceremony. But she's drinking Ensure, I guess that stuff in the can, the nutritious stuff, and doesn't really even want to eat anymore. And there's also a little bit here about the coveted Pepperidge Farm Square gold cake. A very important commodity in these ladies' lives, the gold square Pepperidge Farm cake. Even though they don't eat much, they do manage to get in some good conversations about food and canasta. And then the one of them talks about how, sometimes when you're old and you fall down, it takes a while to figure out how to get up.
It's gone. When I answered, there wasn't nobody there, so this time I wasn't going to answer.
Oh, it rang before?
Yeah, about 5 minutes ago.
Did the machine go on?
No, I...
Oh, you picked it up right away.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't me.
Weren't you?
No, weren't me, because I was still watching Jessica.
That was a new Jesse.
Yeah, it was. I've seen this one before.
Well, I don't remember it.
But it was good. I kept watching it because I couldn't remember how it ended. But it was good.
I like that fur piece.
Yes, wasn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was a pants. When she walked away, it had looked like pants to go with it, with the turtleneck. Top and
yeah.
It was a beautiful outfit.
Everything.
Yeah. That would look good. You'd like that, huh?
Yeah, I sure would.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go to bed and read.
You know what we're going to miss, don't you?
Huh?
You know what we're going to miss?
What?
I'll fly away.
Well.
That's surprising.
There you go.
Did I reach that?
That you had reached that. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, but I can't even find the thing that I must be sitting on. Either that or baby sitting on it.
What are you sitting on?
The rotor.
Huh?
The rotary thing, you know.
Oh.
That thing.
Oh, that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah,
so,
I'm so glad she
was. They did pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
They were
they
pretty
all
smart.
Were good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can hear her three nephews. That's cute.
I thought that was pretty cute, too, but
yeah.
I'm not sure that they'd all be happy about it.
Yeah.
About it. But after all, there's only one way you can do it. Three and one.
That's right. Yeah.
So what's new?
Not a thing. I just... Same old thing, going through stuff. And I'm going to go play canasta tomorrow afternoon.
I think it's good for you to get out like that.
And she said, Marilyn, she said, no matter what, she said, it's fun. I said, I haven't done anything like that in so long.
I know.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How you doing, honey?
I'm doing pretty good. But I hate to sound like you. Now I just have no appetite. I can go and I'll take an insure and I think, well, now I'm going to fix something. And I'm full. I've gotten to the point that, like, today, well, what have I? I've had two of them, and then I did have some toast and tea, and I scrambled one egg, and I had that. I had that this morning, but then this afternoon. But my stomach is just not. It's shrunk, and that was enough for me.
Doesn't want any more.
Huh?
It doesn't want any more.
No. So I'm thinking, well, as long as it doesn't want any more and I feel all right.
And it's not, you're really getting enough nourishment.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
But boy, I tell you, I had the best nap.
Good.
I was doing it and I thought, I'm just going to go take a little nap for a half hour.
I didn't go back to bed this afternoon.
You didn't?
I napped a couple times, a little bit here and
yeah.
a little bit there, but I didn't really sleep all afternoon for
good
a change.
Good for you.
But,
good.
But I tell you what I had for dinner.
What'd you do for dinner?
Well, I went out into the kitchen and I fed baby and I saw...
Yeah, it's just me. I got way delayed after Jeopardy with the sprinkling systems.
Isn't that maddening?
Huh?
Isn't that maddening not to do it?
I can't think of it either.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Coffee cake type. Not coffee cake.
Cake. No.
It isn't coffee cake. There's something else. But anyhow, it was
Palm
good.
Cake.
Huh?
Palm cake?
Crumb cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was good.
A great big chunk of that.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. And now I'm on my full glass of water.
Yeah.
And then we will go to bed.
Then you go to bed.
Both of us.
That good.
Yeah.
I got you another gold cake.
You
I
got what?
I had to walk by. I had to get some more milk, and I got myself another package of squash, and I got a meatloaf dinner, and I walked by the refrigerator, and there was Pepperidge Farm gold cake sitting there wiggling, the last one. I said, you're coming with me.
Pepperidge Farm what?
Huh?
Pepperidge Farm what?
Gold cake.
Oh,
cake.
Square one?
What?
A square one?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because you had mentioned it the
other
day.
Yeah, how did that ever...
I looked at the shelf and there was only one left in there and I thought, oh, hell, I'm going to take it.
Will you wait and see if I can swallow this fellow?
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
He doesn't seem to want to get lost.
Yeah.
He's gone a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a square cake.
Yeah, so you got a square cake.
That's beautiful.
But boy, they must be selling because I looked at the product number and they're supposed to keep 6 on the shelf and there was only one left. So evidently people like it. They must be moving out.
Yeah, well, you know, they didn't have them for so long.
That's right. I was so surprised when you found that one.
Yeah.
And I kept looking and I couldn't find him, and then all of a sudden. Uh-oh.
I did it.
You did it.
Uh-huh.
That was a good Jessica. But did you see the puppy in the end?
No.
The puppy chow commercial?
No.
Oh, he was so cute. He stood there. And
who was he with?
He was with Puppy Chow. But it showed him, he was walking on top of this young lady, slicking her face, and then the next shot was she was sitting at the computer, and he was standing there looking in the computer.
How come I missed a puppy?
It was the end of one of the commercials at the end of Jessica.
Yeah, well, I don't mind missing Jessica, but I don't like to miss a puppy.
Yeah, but his last thing was like he walked right up and was looking right in the camera.
That must be similar to the one that I have seen a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
He steps up on the desk and he's looking in the face of the... This is not the camera. He's looking in the face of the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that. The one because he's adorable.
Yeah. And he looks at that, and then he looks at her.
Yeah. And then the last one is that they show the feet and the puppy chow dumping out of the bag, and he's eating some. And then he turns, and he's walking right up to the camera. That is cute. You want to watch Burke's Law?
I'm glad you told me about it, because otherwise I wouldn't have.
Yeah, Burke's Law.
I like it. I like him.
On 13.
Is that the only other thing?
Yeah, because, well, the...
Usually there's something else. Picket Fences?
Picket Fence comes after that.
I can't remember what that... It seemed to me the last time that started, I thought I didn't like it.
I know the last time I didn't even make it. I just made it through Burke's Law, and that was it.
I think maybe that's what happened to me.
It started already.
Oh, it has. Okay.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
See you later. Uh-huh.
Bye.
Okay, honey. You did it.
Yeah, I did it.
You did it. Yeah. Cut her off. You have reached.
Aren't you watching?
Huh?
Oh, I stayed right with Jeopardy.
Oh.
What's after Jeopardy?
I don't know.
It's Rescue something,
oh,
I think.
Rescue 911, no.
It must be. It's good, too.
Yeah, I just came out.
Are you at home?
Yeah, I'm home.
Can I call you back?
You sure can.
Okay, honey.
Okay, honey.
All right.
That was a good movie.
Wasn't it good?
I just called to tell you I'm on my way to bed.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting close to it.
Yeah.
He's still riding his blue bicycle or something.
Yeah, honey.
So, how are you doing by now?
Well, I fell in the garage this afternoon.
I wondered what happened to you. You know, Lynn, I don't know what happened to me. Did I, someplace today, I lost the day.
Yeah. Oh.
Weren't you down here?
What?
Weren't you down here some part of the day?
Not today, yesterday.
You weren't?
Yesterday.
Well, I don't know, but some part of the day I woke up and I wasn't sure which day it was.
Yeah.
And you were or you were not here.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
All I know was that I was I wanted to talk to you and I thought, I can't just disturb her. She must be busy.
No, we talked earlier.
You fell?
Over there yesterday. And then I called you after Jeopardy. And
yeah.
Then you said, ooh, excuse me, you were going to watch the movie. And I watched it. I was working out in the garage. And it's just like a rubber band. So I've got ice on it. It's sore.
Well, how did you happen to fall?
I don't... Val, I couldn't tell you. I was carrying a couple boxes, and I was put some salt in the water softener, and I brought some stuff out to the garbage, and I stepped up and started to come back into the garage, and I went right down on my left knee. And it just like it snapped right out of place.
Oh, God.
It's like that... I've had that happen a long time ago, and this hasn't happened before, but...
That's not... The right knee is the one that's...
What?
The right knee is the usual problem.
No, my left knee is the one that's the artificial one.
Oh.
Yeah. So...
Right.
I've been up and down and ice on it, so I'll live.
How's it doing by now?
It scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, we think it would.
I couldn't get up. That was and I walked, and then I finally got smart. I rode on my tush to the landing and got a hold of the dryer.
Uh-huh.
Opened the dryer door and got a hold of the inside.
Yeah.
And then I got up, but I couldn't put too much pressure on it. But it'll be all right. This too will pass.
Yeah.
But that was a wonderful movie.
That scares hell out of you. That fall.
Huh?
That fall scares hell out of you.
I can't...
The fall scares hell out of you.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing like what yours are. Because I had no warning. It was just like someone pulled a rubber band.
Of course you don't have any.
Forward and back. And then I thought, well, I could get the garage door spring. If I could get a hold of that, I could hang on to that and get up. But it worked just going backwards and sitting on the little landing, and then I thought if I can get that dryer door open and get a hold of the... I knew if I got a hold of the top, the thing could go over.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But
then I couldn't do it from the left side. I had to turn around. And
that would be all you would need. It would be that.
So what does come after Jeopardy? Wheel of Fortune or the Pearly Gates? Told you, though, they're senior citizens. They have some good days and they have some bad days. But I don't know, that the baby talk thing. Did that frighten you too? You are attuned to the audio kitchen. Unprofessional recordings until 8. Those ladies actually make Jim and Arlene Wall seem really young.
Pretty tough to see. This is a pretty drive here, isn't it? Whee! Hey, there's some rocks over there. These are funny looking rocks, aren't they? This is a nice highway, though. Double lane. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, isn't that something? Look at those. Oh. Oh, isn't that a beauty? What a relief, isn't it, to know that we've got a motel to go to? It is a real quite a relief.
Well, wall-to-wall America fans, I know you're out there. Isn't it a relief to know that they're back? They're back in the travel. As I just went on a road trip just a week or so ago. Of course, it had to pass through my mind that I could bring a tape recorder and in my own little way, I could be Jim Walls. However, I didn't do that. But I thought about it, and, you know, that's a lot of work. Pulling that tape recorder out all the time. I mean, you know, they're not recording every second, but almost always it must be nearby in case something exciting passes by or happens. But it's some of the usual action here. Just north of Corpus Christi. They're still tooling around in that area of the universe. Aransas Pass, I guess they go there. And he's reading the signs, observing the biology. An amateur naturalist, Jim Walls. But like I said, they seem so young sometimes. But they're what? In their 50s, I think, mid-50s. Still older than me. But they have this youthfulness all bound up in them. Like when they go over a bridge. Here they go over a few bridges. And every time, it's exciting for them.
Hey, look at that old shrimp boat over there, tipped on its side, or sideways. A real old bugger, isn't it? Well, that's the fin and feather over there. Oh, I'll be darned. You know, I believe we made a napkin for that many years ago. Fin and feather. Fin and feather. That must be for fishing and for duck hunting there. Fin and feather. There's a big old shrimp boat on its side, and they had one side painted fin and feather. There's two shrimp boats over there. See them? Right in shore, going along there. Coral Reef was the name of one, and what's the other one? I can't see that. Here's another one. Oh, there's lots of them here, right by the causeway. Now we're going to go over an arched bridge here up ahead. There's another shrimp boat. Now we're going over this arched bridge. Hey, it's quite a feeling to go over this and look down at the things in the water. That water must be awfully shallow down there, huh? Yeah. Hey, it's really pretty. You can see all over. That's right. Boats do go through. Here's a shrimp fleet right down below there. See it? Right on the right. They're all docked there. Some are in dry dock. They're up Peggy Joanne, Lake O number 10, 11, Lake O 11. And then there's a whole bunch of them over behind those sheds there. Gulf King 31. There's lots of them all over there, the shrimp boats. See them? Whole bunch of them back in there. Here's an art gallery and art supplies. The Blue Dolphin Art Gallery right there, but it's closed. We get 35 now straight ahead. That bypasses town unless you want to go right through town. And then you take 361, stay on that, and that goes downtown. Town is so small, you might as well take it. I'm running right into 335 again. And now we'll be going through Aransas Pass and also through Ingleside.
Should I turn right again?
Go back to 35 again, and we'll go that way. A lot of those oleander bushes. Oh, are they big? They're taller than the rest of the house, some of them. They're great big round bushes covered with red flowers. They're just beautiful. Head ahead goes to Corpus Christi.
Are you going to turn?
Don't we go to Corpus Christi?
Where is
there.
It? Right there.
Straight ahead.
Well, it says trucks this way.
See what it says? Corpus Christi.
It says trucks this way.
One way. 21 miles to Corpus Christi at 25 to 5. What's the mileage? 1,846.5 miles. And the other one's 42,455 miles. We are now heading over the big bridge, number 181 Big Bridge. What do they call that again? Causeway. They call this the Ulysses Bay Causeway. 4:05. I think we'll make it back to Corpus Christi by 5 o'clock. There's a shrimp boat over there and a tug right behind it. Now we're going up another bridge. This goes across the channel, I guess. Yeah, now we're going up the other channel bridge, I guess. This is a real high one here. Wow.
Keeps
right on going up and up and up and up.
Really
up there in the air and all. Now, if you look to the left, you'll see the whole bay full of sailboats out there. Just beautiful sight as we go over this bridge. And over there, look at the palm trees lining the street.
Does a good job there describing the exhilaration of driving uphill up a bridge. But you do have to wonder what he did with these tapes. if he just sat in his little Wisconsin, well, he moved to Florida, his Florida room, I was going to say den, but, and with a wistful smile, looking out the window and remembering Corpus Christi. So many good things in store here on the show. But we're going to have to wait until next week for Grandma Jones. Remember Grandma Jones? Well, if you're lucky enough to be around, you're going to hear Grandma Jones take a shower. And put away her dirty clothes this time. But that's the future. I have another travel document. Quite a bit different than Jim and Arlene Walls, however. This is from a reel-to-reel tape found in Florida. Don't have a date, but best guess is probably 62, around the early 60s, maybe the late 50s, maybe 1960. But, you know, Jim and Arlene Walls, they're common folks. Middle class, middle Americans, middle-aged, in the middle. This woman we're about to hear is not about the middle. This woman is of the upper crust. And back in those days, in the 1960s, people used to talk about the jet set. That's this woman. In fact, Echo Boy noticed it. She has kind of that clipped sophistication in her voice. Kind of like Tippi Hedren in a Hitchcock movie. And in fact, she works in the entertainment business, I guess, from what she says at the beginning of this tape. I think she works in television. But she is giving her friend, whose name is, I think, Audna, the lowdown on her recent vacation. And oh my, what a trip it was. She says she went back east, but she starts in Denver. So since she works in the TV business, we can assume that she's coming out of L.A. So she flies into Denver, and that's how it starts. And then she hits Des Moines. Doesn't like Des Moines. Omaha. Kansas City. Destinations that she goes to meet old friends, like her, one of her elementary school teachers and relatives of her ex-husband, things like that. But then she flies into New York, and this woman really, really does New York. The whole bit. The Stork Club. The United Nations. She sees West Side Story. She does just about everything. Stays up until all hours and has breakfast at 5:30 in the morning. Quite a trip.
Audna, Rilla thought that you might like to hear about my trip back east. I took off on a vacation, left here on election morning, and took the Continental Jet into Denver, Colorado, where I have a brother there, and I visited in Denver. Had the day that I arrived, morning rather, I left here about 8:30 and was in there by 11-something, their time, an hour and 50 minutes of actual traveling time. We had, it was snowing, and it was beautiful sight, of course, after you haven't seen snow for so many years, to see a soft snow coming down. It's really quite impressive. So I visited the city there and drove up to Central City one day. Central City's that gold mining town up in the mountains, which looked to me like a television set. It was so typical of the R sets that we work on, but this is for real. And the citizens up there are still talking about hoping that the government will change their rules and so that they can go to mining gold again. They have an opera up there, which is open every summer, and they get top names to come in, and the city is quite a thriving little place during the summer months. I visited Golden, Colorado, and of course went to Coors Brewery, which is should be a place that everyone who visits Denver should go to see. That it's a quite an establishment. And then went up to Buffalo Bill's grave on Lookout Mountain. From Denver, I went into St. Francis, Kansas, where I have a sister living on a farm. Went pheasant hunting there and thoroughly enjoyed myself. She had a coffee party for me before we left. And St. Francis can only be reached by the Continental bus lines. So I didn't want to take the Continental. It went through Kansas City, and I was going into Omaha and into Des Moines before I went to Kansas City. So we had to take. She drove me over to Benkelman, where I caught the Greyhound bus and went on into Omaha, and then transferred right on into Des Moines. From Des Moines, I have a number of friends still living there. You know, the Cardamans were my ex-husband's brothers and sisters, so I had them to visit as well as friends of my own. But believe me, Audna, I left nothing in Des Moines. That was the only place in my entire trip that I would never care to go back to again. But anyhow, from Lamona, out of there, I went down to Lamona, Iowa, to visit some relatives for a few minutes, and into Leon, where I saw my school teacher, the one that taught me when I was in the third grade, and she still remembered me, my name, rather. Of course, that's been a good many years, and we hadn't kept track of each other. From there, Leon, then I went back into Des Moines. The next day, I went down to Omaha, Nebraska. I have this friend of mine out at the SAC base there, so I visited the SAC base all that day, saw some fantastic things, for instance, that great big underground map of the world, which to me, my mouth must have fallen completely open because it was so, well, it was just stupendous that it had taken an hour to describe it even. From Omaha, then I went on into Kansas City, where I spent 5 days there with my brother, and renewed my memory of Kansas City, and went out to the Unity Farm and visited, where one of my friends is a teacher out there, and that's grown quite a bit too. From Kansas City, then I took the TWA jet into New York, and of course, fabulous New York. Well, it would take a couple of tapes to even begin to describe that to you, and really, I wish I did have. I really wish I could sit down and just tell you how thrilled I was. Everybody had really outdid themselves to show me a good time. I'll never forget it. I arrived on Wednesday about 1:30 at the Idlewild Airport. Yeah, Idlewild. But you can't come in on the other, and it's too small. So then, in that afternoon, Helen and I went over to Manhattan proper. She lives in Jackson Heights there, which is on Long Island. And she had a beauty appointment, so I walked up and down Fifth Avenue from 54th Street over to 40th, and then over to 8th Avenue. Then we had dinner down in Chinatown, and she had to go to work. She's a singer in one of the clubs there in New York. So while she was working, I went over to see my first Broadway show in many, many years, and I saw The West Side Story. And after the show, went over to Lindy's to eat. Well, they can have Lindy's. If I never went in the place again, it'd be all right. They stand over your shoulder all of the time, and you're supposed to tip from the time you enter there until you leave again. And why, I'll never know. Their food is for the birds. Anyway, from there, then I went over to Jilly's, where Helen was going to meet me at Jilly's. And from there, you see, the bars will close up to 4:30. And Jilly's were entertaining Desi Arnaz and Bob Sterling, so they had a whole group of, there was about four taxi cabs. All of us left there at 4:30 and went over to Brazier's for breakfast. And then, of course, it was about 6:30 by the time we got home that morning. Well, the next day, I had to sleep most of the day. I was just really exhausted. And that evening, Helen's friend came in from up in Connecticut, so he took us to dinner at Frankie and Johnny's. Strangest little old place up some dirty stairways, and nothing. I mean, no music, no nothing, but the food was just terrific, and everybody knows everybody. Newspaper people go there and show people. Most of the places that I went were places that are frequented by the same group all of the time. And then he had tickets for the opening of the Broadway show Tenderloin, which went another show. So, I was real lucky to see shows and things that I wanted to do. Then we dashed from the Tenderloin, we dashed over to the Copacabana to hear Connie Francis on her opening there. Then after the show at the Copacabana, then we go over to Harold's place, which is the final spot that everybody goes to for their last drink before closing of the bars. On Friday, then, I shopped most of that day, or rather, I looked at all of the different stores that I wanted to see, and that night I went to the Metropolitan Opera. It takes a stranger from out of town who don't know her way around to walk up and say, I'd like a ticket and get it. There were four left that night when I got my ticket to see the Metropolitan. Then on Saturday, I went over to Brooklyn and met some friends of mine over there, and then we took the ferry to Staten Island and the Statue of Liberty, and we went down to Greenwich Village for dinner that night, and we went to Margarita's place where everybody sings opera all evening. And then from this place, then we went to see an off-Broadway show, the Greenwich USA was what it was called. And from then we went there, we went to a beatniks joint. Honestly, people never stopped going, so mad rat race. Sunday, went to church at the famous St. Patrick's, and then dinner at the hotel, and then over to the Empire State Building, where, of course, made that tour, and walked all around Wall Street, and we then had some dinner with some friends from the theater. And then the next day, we went to the Stork Club into the Cub Room, and from the Stork Club, we went over to the Harwin Club. And from the Harwin Club, we went to the Latin Quarters, and that is, oh, what a beautiful, beautiful girls' show that is. Just beautiful. And believe it or not, the food was delicious, too. Of course, Helen had taken this day off, and she knows everybody in all of the clubs, and so consequently, the two of us, when we had to, we could go in unescorted, and were perfectly welcome because of her connection all the way around, but usually her friend took us. And then from the Latin Quarters, we, of course, went to Harold's place again and home. And then Tuesday, I went over into Manhattan again and had lunch with Mrs. Seeley. Remember the Barnum and Bailey family? Well, the penthouse for lunch that overlooks the Central Park. Then we went to Delmonico's for cocktails in the afternoon, and then dinner at the Cattleman's, and drinks later at the Essex House, and then over to the St. Maurice for the nightcap. Wednesday was a rather quiet day in the evening. I was so tired, I just didn't know what to do. Then Thursday, I had lunch at Schraff's, one in the Chrysler Building, and then dashed over to the Stock Market Exchange, where a friend of mine has a seat on the exchange. And from there, of course, that was one of the most thrilling things in my life, was to see, sit there, not understanding a thing, but seeing all these lights flick off and on, and knowing that the finances of the world was being shown right there, what was happening to them. Then from the Stock Exchange, I dashed over to the United Nations and attended one of their sessions and took a tour of the building. And then Helen and her friend met us, and we went to Monsignor's for dinner, cocktails then in the Peacock Room over at the Waldorf Astoria. And then we went to the Empire Room, where they knew the orchestra leader there, and that was the opening of the Kim Sisters. And that's a beautiful room over there in the Waldorf Astoria. Then from there, we dashed over to Bonsiors in Greenwich Village for another opening of another show, and then we met the orchestra leader over at the Harwin Club after that. So you can see it's just dash, dash, dash. And of course, being the bars open till 4:30, why, you can keep on going like that. Well, the next, I stayed down at the hotel that night, because the next morning I went into Washington, D.C., and my uncle and cousin live there, and they're out in Bethesda. And there again, of course, I saw the first terrific snowstorm, the worst one they've had in 56 years. Well, I saw Mount Vernon and General Lee's home, and we did get around a little bit, and I got through the Capitol part of it and through a section of Smithsonian Institute where the dresses are, which I was interested in. Then we managed to get up to Annapolis Naval Academy one day, and of course I went in and met the hostess, Mrs. Mitchell, at the hostess of the academy, and we were escorted around, and we went to that magnificent Bancroft Hall, where they were decorating the Christmas tree for the holidays. Oh, a beautiful and impressive sight. Of course, I did see the lighting of the tree at the RCA building, also in New York. And from Annapolis, then, we went on back to Bethesda, and then I went into Baltimore on my last day and took the American jet on home. It was getting so close to Christmas, and I knew that I'd better get started, or I could never leave. Most of the high spots of the trip, well, you couldn't call them high spots. Every day, every moment was a high spot. But I managed to visit most of the VA hospitals on my trips as I stopped in the different places. My friends and relatives were very nice about taking me to see, and of course I was interested to see all the VA hospitals, being a volunteer here for 15 years. And also I was interested in seeing shows in different places. I would have loved to have spent a great deal more time in and around Washington because for the first time in my life, I fully appreciated the history of our country. I could sit down and talk with you for a complete evening, I believe, on just the few things that I was able to see in the length of time I was gone. But I will say that I don't believe anyone in this world has ever been able to see as much, especially of New York City, as I did while I was there, thanks to these all the different friends with the different types of entertainment. You see, some of the kids was daytime, and then if they were working, it was all right because I got on the buses and I found my way around finally. I couldn't do too well on the subways, but I did know how to get from Long Island into Manhattan on a subway before I left. The United Nations impressed me so much to think of 18 acres of land sitting in Manhattan and not belonging to the United States but belonging to 99 countries, and then to turn on the dials while I was sitting in the session and listen to all of the languages being spoken, everything is being interpreted, and you turn a radio dial to listen to the different interpretations, or rather, yes, that's right, they interpret into another language, and to me, of course, that was very fascinating, so I don't know what the theme was about, but I was so busy listening to the other nationalities interpreting. But all in all, if everyone I know could have a vacation so perfect from the moment I left till I arrived home, I don't think I could ask anything more for anybody. The trip home on the American jet, 5-hour trip, I left there at 11:30 and was in here at 1:15 our time. We had a lunch, of course, on board that plane also. Well, this is the end of the tape, Audna, and I'd like to have a longer visit with you and would have liked to have gone into detail, but some other time, possibly. Now, until next year, when you will hear from us again, Mrs. Love is saying Happy New Year to all of you.
And we leave you with this thought.
Go into detail? That wasn't detail enough. How did she remember all that stuff? Must have took notes. Dashing here, dashing there. She must have gotten a key to the city somewhere in that whole New York visit. Okay, Audio Kitchen, signing off. Coming up next, Trash, Twang, and Wiresburg. Here on WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. Live on the internet, WFMU.org. Thank you for listening and for being a part of this last hour. I'll see you next week.
Goodbye.